KJAN Sports.
It's time for a check of sports. Good morning, I'm Jim Field. Well, the girls and boys state qualifying cross-country meets held yesterday around the state. Atlantic hosted both a 3A and 2A meet at the Atlantic Golf and Country Club yesterday. Let's take a look at 3A results first. It was a daily double yesterday for Denison. Reagan Anderson and Ellie Mendlich finished 1 and 2 for the Monarchs in the individual race yesterday, with Megan Sievers of Carlisle, Sadie Juergens of Adel DeSoto Minburn, and Katie Morano of Dallas Center Grimes the top five. Ashley Wendt of Atlantic is the only individual state qualifier for Atlantic. She finished sixth overall, running 20 minutes, 32.24 seconds in yesterday's meet. Also in the top 15, who qualify automatically, Brielle Baker of Creston was ninth. Gracely Castor of Harlan finished in 10th place. Glenwood also had a runner, Lacey Jackson, in the top 15. She finished 14th. Actually, they had two of them. Aubrey McIntyre was 12th yesterday for the Rams. Dallas Center Grimes won the team title with 75 points. Gilbert with 84, the runner-up. Denison was third with 85. Atlantic placed fourth with 111 points, but only the top three teams qualify for the state meet. On the boys' side in Class 3A yesterday, it was J.J. Orput of Carlisle winning the race. Phoenix Shadden of Atlantic was the runner-up. Shadden running 17 minutes, 3.22 seconds to finish in second place, just ahead of Alex Thompson of Dallas Center Grimes. Zachary Wilcox of Carlisle was fourth. Bradley Dennis of Atlantic placing fifth. The freshman ran 17 minutes, 14.22 seconds yesterday for that fifth place finish as he qualifies for the state meet as well. The team for Atlantic did not qualify, though. They placed fourth, just out of the money yesterday. Gilbert with 50 points, the champs. Dallas Center Grimes with 54 was second, and Carlisle placed third with 71 points. The top three teams move on. Let's take a look at the 2A results from Atlantic yesterday, as Carly Larson of Underwood was the individual champ. 19:27:18 was her time. She finished ahead of a couple of Shenandoah Essex runners, Claire Campbell and Carly Manrose, who placed second and third. Kylie Cook of Underwood was fourth, and Devin Gray of Shen Essex was fifth. Also, some of the area runners in that 2A race yesterday that made the top 15 to qualify for state: Shelby Van Fossen of Clarinda, who was eighth; Adriana Holmes and Jessica Jackson of Shen Essex, who were 9th and 10th. Underwood's Mary Grace Martin and Erica Rowe, who placed 12th and 13th. And Southwest Iowa's Vanessa Belt, who was 15th. Shen Essex won the team title with 27 points. Underwood, the runner-up, with 48. Roland Story, 110 points for third to qualify. On the boys' side in that 2A race yesterday, it was Andrew Stumbo of Ogden winning the race. Southeast Valley's Spencer Wareheim was second. Des Moines Christian's Tyler Ketchum third. Patrick Breitsprecher of Southeast Valley was fourth, and Logan Peters of South Hamilton placing fifth. Also among the locals that qualified from Southwest Iowa, Adam Thompson, who was ninth from Southwest Iowa High School. Also Red Oaks' Liam Eubank placed 13th, and Shen Essex' Hunter Rice was 15th to qualify. South Hamilton, Ogden, and Roland Story, the top three teams, and they qualify as well. Also, a 1A meet held at Panora yesterday in girls' action. It was Jeanette Schraft of East Mills winning that race, with Adair Casey Guthrie Center's Kate Crawford placing second. ACGC's Emma Swanson was third overall. IKM Manning's Peyton Sporer was fourth, and Emma Lucas of Bedford placing fifth. Also in the top 15, Alexis Post of Riverside. She was sixth. Panorama had a couple of runners place eighth and ninth, Devin Kemble and Brianna Hoffman. Exira EHK's Emily Kopic qualifies for state with a 10th place finish, right ahead of Caitlin Holiday of CAM, who was 11th to move on. Taylor Spohr of Logan Magnolia advances, placing 12th. Also, Griswold's Anna Young was 15th to qualify as well. The top three teams also move on. Panorama was first with 90 points, Griswold with 111 points second, and ACGC with 125 points placing third. They all advanced to the state meet as teams. And the boys' side in that 1A meet at Panora yesterday, it was Jerry Jorgensen of Trainer, the champion. Griswold's David Thompson was third, just behind Rylan Heffernan of West Central Valley. Cale Billheimer of Adair Casey Guthrie Center was fourth, and Landon Foster of ACGC placing fifth. Also in the top 15 qualifiers, it was Otis Macheka of Riverside placing sixth. Noah Nelson of ACGC was seventh. Panorama's Josh Karstens eighth. Clay Billheimer of ACGC was ninth. Also ACGC's Logan Schurman was 12th. Panorama had a couple of runners, Mitch Wagler and Danny Nordquist, placed 13th and 14th. The final qualifier, Cade Jensen of Audubon. He was 15th yesterday. ACGC won the team title with 37 points. Panorama and Earlham were 2 and 3. Those top three teams all moving on to the state cross-country championships at Fort Dodge. Well, it's a football Friday night here in Southwest Iowa, another high school football Friday night, the final night of the regular season, and some really important games around the region tonight. In Class 3A District 7, we've got a rivalry matchup tonight here on the radio. No playoff implications here, but it's always a fun game. Atlantic on the road at Harlan. We'll have that one for you live tonight here on KJAN. Who's going to win gets our night started at 6 o'clock. We follow that at 6:30 with an hour-long pregame. They'll kick things off at Merrill Field in Harlan at 7:30 tonight. And Chris Parks and Mike Smith will have all the action for you tonight. That's Atlantic at Harlan live tonight. You can hear from Atlantic coach Mike McDermott this afternoon at 4:45. Final edition of the year of Trojan Preview hits the air this afternoon. Also in 3A District 7 tonight, Carroll at home against Creston. Both those teams undefeated on the season. They'll both make the playoffs. It'll just be a determination tonight of who gets the district championship and who's the runner-up. Glenwood also with a shot at the playoffs as a wild card. They're on the road at 8 a.m. tonight. Winterset is at Denison. In 2A, District 7 play tonight, Kemper Catholic has a big game on the road at Southeast Valley. Underwood is at Red Oak. Clarinda at Shenandoah. And South Central Calhoun plays at East Sac County. In 1A District 7 tonight, Logan Magnolia on the road at ACGC. Missouri Valley has an important date at AHSTW tonight. Tri-Center is at IKM Manning, while Trainer will host OABCIG. In Class A District 7 tonight, it's Griswold at St. Albert. Nottoway Valley playing at Martinsdale St. Mary's. Southeast Warren at Earlham and Southwest Valley at Riverside. In eight-man football tonight from District 6, Lennox at Lamoni. Stanton is at Bedford in a big game. Mormon Trail is at Murray, while East Union plays at Wayne. In eight-man District 7 tonight, it's Exira EHK at East Mills. Fremont Mills is on the road at Cam tonight. Woodbine plays at Essex, and Clarinda Academy is at Sydney. Also in eight-man District 8 tonight, Audubon with one more test in the regular season as they try to close out the season undefeated. They'll play on the road at Arweva tonight. Boyer Valley is at West Harrison. Charter Oak Ute at River Valley. And Glidden-Ralston plays at Coon Rapids Bayard this evening. Well, Aaron Rodgers allowed the Green Bay Packers to overcome the absences of their two top running backs last night. Rodgers set a team record for completions in a game, hitting on 39 of 56 passes in a 26-10 comeback win over the 1-6 Chicago Bears. He finished with 326 passing yards and tossed two of his three touchdowns to Davante Adams. In college football news, number 10 Wisconsin should have their top linebacker, Vince Beagle, back Saturday at Iowa. Beagle missed two games with a right foot injury, with Wisconsin losing to number 3 Michigan and number 2 Ohio State. Coach Paul Chryst said Thursday that Beagle practiced all week and he plans to play him against the Hawkeyes. Beagle will reunite with fellow outside linebacker T.J. Watt to give Wisconsin one of the top pass-rushing duos in the conference. We'll have that game for you live tomorrow. Big game at Kinnick Stadium tomorrow in the Big Ten West Division. We'll be on the air at 9 o'clock in the morning with the pregame. 11 o'clock is kickoff, and you can catch it all right here. Well, the University of Iowa is moving forward with plans for a $90 million renovation at Kinnick Stadium. The Iowa Board of Regents on Thursday approved the design and financing plan for the project, which will renovate one of the stadium's end zones. The enhancements come to the north end zone and include a second deck for seating, new restrooms, expanded concourses, and improved concessions. The project will begin after the 2016 season and be completed prior to the 2019 season. Kinnick Stadium, which has hosted the Hawkeyes since 1929, last received an overhaul in 2006 that was highlighted by the new press box. The stadium's capacity is expected to remain at around 70,000. A 14th-ranked Boise State Broncos are 7-0 after last night's victory, but it wasn't easy against BYU. The Broncos were down 27-21 until Jeremy McNichol scored on a 4-yard run with 10:37 left, giving Boise State a 28-27 triumph over the Cougars. Also in college football, Washington State coach Mike Leach has been fined $10,000 and reprimanded by the Pac-12 conference for comments about the Arizona State program. Leach warned during his Monday news conference that he thought the Sun Devils and coach Todd Graham would steal signs, calling it a very unsavory practice. Leach also mentioned that he heard rumors about Arizona State using microphones and cameras to get signals from the other sideline. And the Chicago Cubs are one win away from their first World Series berth in 71 years. The Cubs head back to Chicago with a 3-2 lead in the National League Championship Series following an 8-4 rout of the Dodgers in Los Angeles last night. That game was tied at 1 in the 6th inning until Addison Russell blasted a 2-run homer to center field off losing pitcher Joe Blanton. Javier Baez broke the game open with a 3-run double in the 8th inning to put the Cubs up 8-1. The Cubs also received a strong pitching performance from John Lester, who limited the Dodgers to a run and 5 hits while striking out 6 over 7 innings. Dodgers starter Kenta Maeda couldn't get out of the 4th inning, charged with a run and 3 hits. Blanton's already served up 3 homers in the series, including a tie-breaking grand slam by Miguel Montero in the 1st game. L.A. didn't produce much offense either until the Cubs built an 8-1 lead. Chicago scored 18 runs over the last 2 games after being shut out in the previous 2 contests. The Cubs have scored at least 8 runs in all 3 of their victories. Game 6 is set for Saturday night at Wrigley Field. Today is a travel day. The Dodgers will go with ace Clayton Kershaw, who blanked Chicago over 7 innings in Game 2. Kershaw will be opposed by earned run average champion Kyle Hendricks as the Cubs try to wrap up their first trip to the Fall Classic since the Truman administration. That's Check of Sports this hour. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.